All right. Our theme for this summer is the church. I trust you've been able to get one of our bookmarks. It has the series there. It says the church, and it has different themes for each month, and then what each message is going to be concerning. Theologically, it's called ecclesiology, where it's a study of the church. June's theme is beliefs of a biblical church. And this morning, I want to describe and discuss a biblical church. Now, we should all want to be a part of a biblical church. I think that's your desire, right? You want to be a part of a biblical church. And hopefully that's why you're here, either to check us out to see if we are biblical or because we are biblical. Now, not every church that calls himself a church or organization that calls himself a church is a church, right? I mean, they gather and they meet, but they're really more like a country club than a church. That's not what we want to be. We want to be a church, and we find out what a real church is by going to the scriptures and finding out what God's word says about a church and what a church should be, what the church should do, how do we function as a church, how we're organized as a church, and again, who we are as a church according to the scriptures. And isn't that what you want for FBC? I mean, we need to evaluate, make sure we're doing all that God would have us to do and be, all that God wants us to be, according to the scriptures. And I think that's your desire, and that's one reason why we're studying this matter. Because I think it's good to do some evaluating as we go along, so that we stay the course, so that we don't drift. But if we have drifted, to make sure we come back to what God wants us to be and what God wants us to do. So, we want to look at the scriptures. So turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, which records the establishment of the church. We are in what's called the church age. It started in Acts chapter 2, and with the establishment of the church after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching this powerful message. Pastor Nate referenced that here this morning. And speaking of Christ being the cornerstone that the Jews rejected. And as he preaches this powerful message, people came to Jesus. And we're going to look at verses 40 through 47 here initially. And Peter preached, and with many other words, verse 40, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So here's some activities that we observe concerning the early church. And first of all, in these verses, we see soul-searching evangelism. They were so excited about their relationship with God to realize what Jesus truly did for them, that Jesus truly was God who came, who died on the cross, was buried and rose again. And they're like, oh my. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your forgiveness of your sins. And people turned to Jesus. They got saved. They followed Jesus in obedience to baptism. They were excited about that. And so there was soul-searching evangelism, not only for themselves, but they wanted to tell others. They wanted other people to know about this. Verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So not only soul-searching evangelism, but they had systematic exposition. The apostles, they were the leaders of the church in that day, and they taught the people the word of God. That's, we look at exposition, that's what we want to do. Here at FBC, we want to teach the word of God. Systematic exposition. Verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread. There was sweet fellowship. They gathered together as the people of God in that day, and they enjoyed that breaking of bread, that fellowship together. We're gonna comment a little bit on this as we have communion a little bit later on in the service. But there was that sweet fellowship with one another and with God. Verse 42, once again, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. There was sincere prayer. I'm just so blessed that we have people of God here at FBC that want to pray. Every Sunday we have we call it a boiler room ministry, because that's where the heat starts, right? And we have a boiler room ministry. A group of people get together every Sunday morning before both or one before the early service, and then they dismiss from here and they go and they pray for this service. It's called the Boiler Room Ministry. And they pray, and as a congregation, we pray together during our services. We pray together on Wednesday night in corporate prayer. We want to have sincere prayer. That's what they were doing there. Verse 43, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. They had spirit-filled servant leaders. The apostles, they were not doing it because of their charisma. They weren't doing it because of their greatness. They were doing it because of Jesus. They were spirit-filled leaders leading the way. They were servants who led the way. And all, verse 44, who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Now, some might sit here and go, oh, look, there's communism. The Bible teaches communism. That's not the case. For one thing, in the early church, because of their faith, people lost their jobs. They couldn't work. And so people who had work or were self-employed and all, they could then, they chose to share. So here's the difference. Communism says what's yours is mine. What we have here is sacrificial giving, which says what's mine is yours. Big difference, right? Now, it's not what's yours is mine. I expect it from you. You got to give it to me. No, what you have here is you have what's mine is yours. And the sharing with people who had need. And then verses 46 and 47, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. Here you had singleness of purpose, all serving and bringing glory to God. And you know what? They were out there. They were a testimony to the community. People saw that and they were like, yes, oh my goodness. Look at those people who love God, who love one another. Serving and bringing glory to God. In verse 47, the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Here you have supernatural success. Like, yes! Oh my goodness, look what God is doing there through that ministry. And they were excited about it. And it wasn't that the church just sat back and like, oh, well, you know. Yes, it was because of God, but they were willing instruments in God's hands to be used of God. And God is the one who added to the church as the people were going out into the world. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we go. But I don't know about you, but I want FBC to be as much like that as possible. Don't you? I mean, you look at those qualities, it's like, yes, that's what I want in a church. And as a part of FBC, that's what I want at FBC, and I hope that's what you want. I know that's what I want. I'm going to mention this a little bit, but I've been here this summer 19 years. I've given a good portion of my life to this ministry, and it's like, why would you do that? Why would I do that? Well, because I love God, and I love you. I love this church. I'm excited about what God is doing here. And because of that, we have an impact and you have an impact. So, again, I trust that's what you want and that's what I'm working toward. And I trust you'll work toward that with me or as we continue to in our ministry to that end. Well, Scripture goes on to speak about the church. Now, it uses the English word church taken from a German word for building. The problem with that is the Greek word for church means called out ones. It has nothing to do with the building. You, as when you come to Jesus, you are a called out one, called out from the world to be God's representative to this age. You are a called out one. So it's important, it's essential to move from what Andy Stanley calls the temple model of the church, which says that in order to meet with God, you need to meet with in a sacred place, using sacred sacred texts, ministered by sacred men. That's the temple model. Now, I believe that the Scriptures are sacred, And I believe that capable and qualified men ought to minister the Word of God to the people of the church. But there's not a sacred place. We tend to look at, hey, I'm going to church or the church, thinking of a building today. That's what we tend to think of that. And we think of brick and mortar. And here's another. The church is not brick and mortar. The church is you and me as God's people. That's one reason why we've chosen this icon here. And our concern here was that it just looked like a bunch of thumbtacks, you know, there. But it's the idea there is that it's people coming together to form the church. The church is you and me as God's representatives, as saved people, are a part of the church. We'll explain that a little bit more in just a few moments. But the church isn't a building. That's one reason why I don't call this a sanctuary. I call this a worship center, because this is where we gather to worship. It's the center at which we gather to worship. But you know what? There are people down in the square today. They're gathering to worship. And some of them are from FBC and some are from other churches. By the way, church, the word church is used about 111 times in the New Testament. Over 90 of those times is in reference to the local church. So that's what we have here. The local church, FBC, is a local church. And you have bodies of believers from a locality that gather together to form the local church. And all believers are part of the rest of the references refer to the universal church, which is every believer who's come to Jesus, has gotten saved. They are part of the universal church. And there was a thought that a part of the universal church met down on the square today in the name of Jesus. They came together for this common event and effort. That those folks are the universal church. Now, there were folks from our local church who went down there. All right. So you have the universal church, has all the people, and then you have the local body. And everybody who is a Christian should be a part of a local body. You don't have Lone Ranger Christians out there. You shouldn't have. You should be part of a local body, a local fellowship. So, the church is not a building. It's a gathering of like-minded people who have been called by God out from the world, who are saved and are His representative people to this age. That's a church. Called out from the world, who are saved as God's representative people to this age, the church. So I want to just emphasize this thought here today, and that is the church, in light of that, if I can say that definition, the church is not about you. It's about being a part of something bigger than you. Church is not about you. It's a gathering of like-minded people. Come together, focused on Christ. We're saved, baptized, added to the church. And as a result, we gather together and we're God's representative people to this age. So here's our take-home thought. Speaking of you as a part of the church, you are a contributor, not a consumer. You're a contributor, not a consumer. We live in a society, a culture of consumers. We are consumers in our culture. We go shopping. All you have to do is look at the ads. We have DVR, and we love our DVR because you can skip all the ads. You can fast forward through all of them. You don't have to listen to them all. You are bombarded with ads to buy this or go here and receive this service. You go shopping and say, I like this, I like that, I don't like that. So I like this, I like that. And the problem is that has carried over into the church. So the people are going from church to church shopping for what they like or don't like in a church. And then
And people listen to a pastor's message and they go, okay, that was 8.5. You know, and and every once in a while, hey, that was a 10, you know. And boy, you know, that's, I want to go to a church where the pastor preaches a 10 every week. And you're probably not going to find that. If you're looking for the perfect church, don't join it, because then it won't be perfect anymore, right? Because we're growing. We're, as a bride of Christ, He wants to present us unto Himself without spot or wrinkle. We ain't there yet, right? But we're growing, and we want to be what God wants us to be. So rather than being a consumer, shopping and hunting and pecking and trying to find, you know, what suits our needs. Now, again, I think a church ought to minister to you. But I think the bigger question is, how can I contribute to that church so as to minister to the church as a whole? Because it's not about you. It's about being a part of something bigger than you. So as called out ones, we have tasks and responsibilities. So we want to look at those here this morning. First of all, you are a called out one who loves God dearly. You're a called out one who loves God dearly. I think of Matthew 22, verses 36 to 38. Teacher, teacher of the law asked, trying to challenge him and test him. Teacher, speaking to Jesus, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. Love God. You want to contribute to what this church ought to be about? Love God with everything in you. Even if nobody else does. Now, I believe we have a lot of people here at FBC that love God. I've seen it. I've seen your lives. But you want to contribute? Don't be critical about people who don't seem to love God the way you do. Just love God. It's a matter of people pulling together here at FBC of people who love God. And we love God dearly. Many of you, I know by talking with you and observing your lives, that you worship God privately. You're spending time in His Word and prayer. I encourage you to keep that up, because it's evident. As you grow, it's evident in your lives that you love God. And there are times that I'm sure, as I do, that you're praying or you're studying, you're reading, you're singing. Teresa likes to have concerts in the truck, you know, just driving down the road, just singing at the top of her lungs, you know. And somebody looks at you and goes, wow, that guy, what's that guy singing about, you know. It's like, yeah, you know, we're worshiping. It should happen privately. If it doesn't happen privately, it probably isn't happening in your heart here either. And so we have private, but we also have public worship, where we come together and man, you know, you sing some of those Cornerstone, Christ Alone, and man, it raises the roof, and we just sing from our hearts, because why? We love God. It's all about Him, and we love Him dearly. And so bringing glory to God is evidenced by salvation, by obedience, by service. All of that shows that you love God. And as a contributor, you contribute to the fellowship by loving God and loving Him dearly. Now, Scripture speaks to some other metaphors. This isn't an exhaustive list. But here's what I think some of those metaphors teach. And again, it should be to the end of drawing us together to love God. Here's the first one, and that is, the church is a building of which Christ is the chief cornerstone and the members are the structure. And you go, wait a minute, you just said we weren't a building. It's a metaphor, okay? It's a metaphor. And some people are the arches. Some people are light fixtures. Christ is the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone. He is the one on which we build this infrastructure, this structure. And the cornerstone was designed to make sure that it had a good, firm foundation and that everything was laid straight. You build upon Christ, and when we come back to Him as the chief cornerstone, it assures that we are what God wants us to be. And you are a part of that. You may be a brick. You may be the mortar. You may be the light fixtures. You may be a doorknob. You may be a door. You might be the boiler. You might be the air conditioner. But you have a part. There's another metaphor. It builds on that. And the church is a body of which Christ is the head, and the members are the members. You are a part of the body. Some might be a hand, a finger, a fingernail, a foot, a toe, something very visible, a mouth, an ear, nose, eyes. Some may be internal organ, a heart, lungs, liver, spleen. But you know, all parts are essential. You know, if you amputate a part, it's no longer a part of the body, and it's gross. You know, it just kind of lays there. It can't function apart from the body. It's there. This is a good reason to join a church, to be a part of a church, so that you're part of the local body of believers as a contributor to that, to accomplish what God wants accomplished. Another metaphor is a family of which Christ is the head and the members are brothers and sisters. We love that metaphor here at FBC. We talk about that a lot. We call our church business meetings family meetings oftentimes. We say, you know, we're gathering together as a church family for our business meeting. And we call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we pull together as a family for common goals and common purposes. And we contribute to that in the fellowship with one another. Why do we do all of that? Another metaphor is that we're a bride. We're the bride of Christ. But again, why all of this? Because we love God dearly. And because we love God dearly, we want to be what God wants us to be, right? So that's first and foremost. But in light of that, calling one another brothers and sisters, it leads us to another thought, another task or responsibility. As one of the called out ones, you are a called out one who cares for one another deeply. You care for one another deeply. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter 1, 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly. NIV says deeply from your heart. Love one another. Think of all the one another commands. That's one that should come to mind right away. I'm to love one another, to love others. To love others deeply. We have that here at FBC. To be devoted to one another in love. Here, I'm just going to quickly, you can jot some of these down or look them up. Just look up, if you have a concordance, look up one another. And you'll see these commands. But we honor one another. We live in harmony with one another. Stop passing judgment on one another regarding liberty issues. Accept one another, instruct, greet, agree, serve, bear with one another in love. Be kind and compassionate. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Submit to one another. Forgive, admonish, encourage one another daily. Spur one another on to love and good deeds. That's one of the purposes for gathering together in corporate worship on Sunday, so that we can encourage one another onto love and good deeds. Live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, compassionate, humble. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Isn't that interesting? And have fellowship with one another. You know, what a blessing. So often I hear of people, hey, we're going out to dinner, lunch on Sunday afternoon. You guys want to come along? You see? Or maybe there's a group going down to the Strawberry Festival. Hey, you want to come along? We're going to go down there. We're going to meet at the pork chop shack or whatever, you know. And we're going to have fellowship. We're going to do it together. You know, it's a blessing to see you do that. That's one reason why we have life groups, so that there's consistent fellowship going on, to get to know one another deeply, to care for one another in this way. Just this week, found out that one of our ladies who's in a care facility, an extended care facility in Greenville, she just recently had a stroke, and her family is going to be out of town for a few weeks. And so one of our ladies found out about that and said, you know what, because the family's going to be out of town and she has some needs here, I'm going to try to get some ladies from the church to show love to her, to care for her while her family's out of town. And so an email has gone out, and if you did not get that email or you'd like to be a part of that, you can sign up. Come talk to me, and I'll get you in contact with that individual who's getting that all set up. That came out of a deep love for this individual. And that's not the only time that kind of thing happens. It happens all the time around here. Now, the temptation to say, well, nobody did that for me. No. It's not about you, remember? It's about, okay, maybe that's where you need to learn or the church needs to learn through you. Hey, I have this opportunity to minister to someone else. Maybe it didn't happen to you, but I'm going to learn from that because I know how important it is to do that. So I'm going to get a group of people to reach out, or I'm going to be one who is going to reach out and try to encourage that person. We have someone else who sends cards, and we have people say, who is this person? I don't even know who this person is, and I get a card from them. You know, how awesome is that? This individual has a ministry, and that she's not the only one. There are others who do this. They send cards and say, thank you for the card. I don't know who this is, but man, what a blessing to get a card from somebody when I was going through a rough time. Or just a time of encouragement. Why do we do this? Because we love one another deeply. And as a pastor, I know I don't say it enough, but I want you to know I love you. As pastor, again, I've been here these 19 years, and I tell you, I just have grown in my love for you. I remember writing a letter to FBC before I even came and says, I want you to know that I already love you. And because of that, I've been committed. You never know what God can do down the road, but I want you to know I love you and I care for you. But what a blessing it is to know that you do that for one another. There's no way that I could minister to everyone who is going through a rough time or who's in the hospital or who's in a care facility. It takes the body doing its part. And I just so appreciate that. And thank you for what you do. We're called out ones who care for one another, love one another deeply. But we're also called out ones who reaches others diligently. We reach others diligently. I think of Matthew 28:19-20. I didn't bring my sheet up, but I hope you received one of these when you came in with your worship card and notes. But just take a look at our values, our mission, vision, strategy document. And the idea behind this is that we not only care, love God and love one another deeply, but we want to reach others diligently. We have a plan. We value this. We value the adoration of God, biblical authority. We want to do things biblically. We value life change and dependency upon God, personal discipleship, loving pursuit. It's all a matter of making disciples there. And then the relationships, that's why we have launched into life groups, so the building of relationships and generational ministries. It's not about any one age group. We value reaching all age groups of our culture and our city. But our mission here, based on
Matthew 28:19-20 is becoming a church of reproducing followers of God. That's discipleship. Disciples making disciples who make disciples. Empowered by the Spirit of God. We can't do it ourselves. Through the Word of God, as we minister the Word, we want to be biblical to demonstrate Christ-centered living. As we believe in change, that we want to live out the testimony of Christ to the glory of God. It's not about us, it's about Him. And we want to do so within the church, the community, and the cultures of the world. With that mission, we have a vision of showing Christ as indispensable to our community. And that's changed the culture of FBC. Just in the last few years since we developed this, November 2015, as you see that. It's actually the summer before that when we launched that. It has changed the culture of FBC. It's taken our eyes off of, here's what we do, and we do it well, and we'll do it for you, to, you know what? We want to get out into the community, and we want to have an impact on the community around us. Not come see what we do. Now, we still invite people, and I hope you invite people to church. I hope you get so excited about what God is doing here, what God has done in your life, and what God is doing in the lives of the people around you to say, I want other people to know that and see that. Yes, invite people here, but let's get out there so that we can communicate that to our culture, to our community, to our culture, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so then our strategy is to connect, grow, and give back. And that's like an upward spiral. To see people connected, this starts with you. That you're connected with God and with others. And then you grow in Christ so that then you give back by encouraging others to connect with God and others and grow in Christ so that they go out and do likewise. That's one reason why I'm excited about our intentional discipleship program. We have a plan to accomplish this. We are called out ones who reach others diligently. And as you buy into that, as you say, you know what? Man, that's what I want to be a part of. I want to be a part of a biblical church that values these very precious things, who knows what its mission is, has a vision for its community, and a strategy to fulfill that. As you look at that and say, man, I want to be a part of that. So as opposed to being a consumer, you're like a contributor to say, yes, I want to do what God can do through me to that end and to His glory. That being said, you are one of the called out ones who has the mind of Christ. Think of Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, this is Paul writing to the local church at Philippi. Okay? He's writing to the local church at Philippi. And he's talking to them and he says, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy. He's saying, if you want to make me happy, as the Apostle Paul, complete my joy of being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. You want to bring me joy as your minister? Be unified. That's what he's saying. Be unified. How do you do that? Look at verse 3. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others more significant than yourselves. NIV says, consider others better than yourselves. You want to have unity? It's not about you. It's all about Him and others and how you can contribute to the ministry of God, to others, to the glory of God. How do you do that? Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. How do you do that? Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Have the mind of Christ, who humbled himself. Here you have God, the creator of creation, who humbled himself, became a man, flesh, truly God, truly man, dwelt among us, ministered to others, came to serve, not to be served. and gave His life for you. Died a humiliating death upon the cross. Took His eyes off of Himself. It wasn't all about Him. It was about how He humbled Himself. Became obedient unto death. Let that mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now in sports, one thing I've observed is that the teams that are the most successful are the teams that pull together. I mean, you know, it's like, yeah, come on guys, we can do it, you know, and let's, hey, all right, team, let's go. 1, 2, 3, go. You know, and they get out there and they're encouraging. Maybe it's a church softball team, you know, they get out there and it's a foul ball or they strike out and say, hey, it's okay. You know, come on, we'll get it. We'll pick each other up. And I have just found the teams, and when I've been on those teams, and I'm talking a church softball team, you know, or any other kind of team, teams that are upbeat and positive and encouraging one another, that are unified, are more successful. They're more effective. And the other neat thing about that is other people see that. And, whoa, you know, that's pretty cool. And even if you lose, and we've had a fair amount of that in our church softball history, but at least we want to be testimonies. And we're effective in that way. But those teams like that, they realize, you know what, it's not about any one person. It's about contributing to the cause. In a positive, encouraging way, helps us be effective. As the saying goes, there's no I in team. You know? I mean, even if a team has a superstar, like LeBron James. Now, some of you are, whatever. You know. But anyway, LeBron James, he can't do it by himself. I mean, the guy's awesome. He scored over 50 points the other day. I mean, unbelievable. He can't do it by himself. You put him up against 5 guys, he'd lose every time, I'm telling you. The rest of the team has to pass the ball to him so that he can make the shots, or once in a while he passes the ball to somebody else. There's no I in team. Even teams that have a superstar. But the point here is that we pull together. And we as a church, we realize it's not about us. It's about something. It's not about you. It's about something bigger than you. It's about God. It's about one another. It's about reaching others. All done through humility and to the glory of God. I hope you're excited. I'm looking forward to this series. I think God's going to do some great things in teaching us and helping us do some evaluating. Next week, we're going to start looking at beliefs that a biblical church ought to have. Pray about that. And let's, again, seek the spirit of unity and the bond of peace to the honor and glory of God. Let's pray. Father, work in all of our hearts, I pray, as we think about what you have taught us and continue to teach us through your word concerning the church. And I pray that we would all realize, you know, we need to be contributors, not consumers. That it's not about us. It's about us being a part of something bigger than ourselves. Help us to evaluate how we can contribute, how we can, as a part of the church here at FBC, how we can contribute to loving you and being identified as a church that loves you and loves you dearly, and to love one another deeply and to reach others diligently. May we consider our role personally to these ends, to your glory. With heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't know how God may have spoken to you through His Word here, but I encourage you to fill out a connection card from the pew in front of you, or through YouVersion, or through our website, and jot down how God may have spoken to you, or how He may be working in your life to be an integral part of His church as He builds the church through us to His glory. Jot that down. If you have any questions, jot that down. If it's personal, private, check for pastors only. And in a moment, we're going to take an offering, and you can place that card in the offering. But think about the offering as doing your part as a contributor. And think, am I doing my part? Because you know what? What goes on through the ministry of FBC is done by the people sitting around you right now. We don't have We don't have a superstar that's out there that's kind of doing it all or carrying the load. Are you doing your part? Even as you contribute. That's one aspect. It's one way in which you can be a part of the body. And I just encourage you to consider that as you give and give sacrificially. That's part of being as a New Testament church, as we read in the book of Acts. Help us, Father, I pray, to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.